Welcome back to the Mittner Method. I'm your host, Andrew Mittner, and on today's episode, we will conclude our series on college football passing props for quarterbacks. Our last quarterback on the list is one that I am going to give you a disclaimer because I am a Notre Dame fan, as anybody who knows me that's listening to this, but if you don't know me, now you know. I'm going to talk about Riley Leonard, and I want to be honest, this is probably my least favorite prop that I've looked at simply because I have a lot of pause. But when I'm looking at the raw data and the change in offensive coordinator, like, I have to look at it objectively, right? I can't be afraid that, you know, this team that has let me down my entire adult life and pretty much my father's entire adult life is going to let me down again. So I'm going to try to be optimistic and and look at the actual profile, because that does matter. And that is something that I've been doing objectively with every single episode we've done, regardless of the topic. And I'm going to continue to do that going forward here. So there is a gigantic coordinator change when it comes to Notre Dame. They are getting rid of their offensive coordinator and they are bringing in LSU's offensive coordinator, Mike Denbrock. And now that might not seem like a big deal to the majority of people, but I'm here to tell you, looking at it from this perspective, there are a lot of things that I genuinely like about the move. All right. So when it comes to just the overall personnel look, it's a big deal. Okay, so to put it in perspective, last year Notre Dame ran 11 personnel 65.6% of the time. That's 87th overall. And then they ran 12 personnel 25% of the time. So that made up, 90% of their overall package, right? LSU, on the other hand, is going to run 11 personnel 95.7% of the time. That's fourth overall. So that is the personnel that they are going to run. And that is a big change to the landscape of Notre Dame football for, I don't know, what feels like almost a decade. I've been shouting from the mountaintops that they need to get in to the modern age of offense and really open it up. And like, so we can see, something different, something that works, and every year we're promised, oh, it's going to be more, it's going to be more. And like, I mean, I believe that this will be the year that we actually see a transformative offense, at least from the personnel standpoint. I don't know if that's going to equate to more wins and, a college football championship, but I think we are going to see a more entertaining product. And so just from the personnel standpoint is not all that is positive. So when I look at a couple of things that indicate modern offenses, you're looking at play action and motion. Now, that seems very simplex, like simple, and like I'm oversimplifying, the concept, but motion and play action puts the defense out of position. It makes you leverage their weaknesses. It gives you an advantage offensively, which you already have the majority of the advantages because, A, your players know where they are going. So, again, one thing that really stands out to me, Notre Dame last year, 114th in play action dropback percentage. They only used play action on 23% of their dropbacks. Now, the other side to that is LSU didn't really use play action a lot either, 20%. So, I mean, that's not a big, deal, right? The difference is going to be in the motion. And this is something that's like been born of the Shanahan offense. it just shows you that, you know, you can get these advantages that almost seem like cheat codes. Notre Dame was 82nd overall in motion dropback percentage. So that means 30% of the time they had motion built into their offensive passing play. LSU, on the other hand, doubled that. They were 4th overall, 61.8% of the time motion was in their passing attempt. Now, I know that doesn't seem like a giant like deal, but it really is. Like it is a big difference, because when you just line up and you go, you're not making the defense think or make any checks, or, you know, you're not putting them on edge. You are just letting them be comfortable. And another thing that I'm going to point out here, your passing attempts without motion and without play action, one or the other, is historically one of the worst EPA per attempt, you know, things you can do. The average EPA is negative 0.10 for a passing attempt that does not have either play action or motion in it. Now, the flip side to that is if you just include one of those facets in a passing attempt, the average is 0.008. That is 13 times more efficient. So your average non-motion, non-play action attempts in 2023 is actually pretty high. It's 46.1%. You know, and so that's kind of tough, right? You would think that, you know, coaches would have caught on by now. They haven't. They just haven't. I'm just, you know, like, they're not there yet. The writing's not loud enough and big enough on the wall. So Notre Dame last year was 114th in no motion, no play action pass attempts. That's 56.3% of the time did they not have either one of those facets. LSU, on the other hand, was 14th overall. 33.3% of the time did they not have one of those facets, play action or motion. And that's obviously because they're one of the highest motion-heavy teams in college football last year. So I say all that to say this, okay? Let's look at the pass rate of expectancy profiles. Last year, the pass rate over expectancy was negative 3.26% for Notre Dame on standard downs and plus 3.44% on passing downs. All right, and then when we look at the 2023 LSU PROE profile, they were plus 4.5% on standard downs and plus 2.87% on passing downs. So the biggest difference right there is going to be on the standard down side of it. So they're going to be throwing the ball roughly almost 8% more on standard downs than they did last year. But that's not the only thing. When we look at the pace, Notre Dame was 114th in pace last year, 29.54 seconds per play, where LSU was 65th. Not a torrid pace, mind you, you know, 65th overall, but a significant enough improvement to where there are going to be a bigger volume of plays. So when we look at Notre Dame last year, the offense that they ran, Sam Hartman, you know, was pretty much everything you could expect him to be. But in reality, like, there were definitely some shortcomings. But he only averaged 25 attempts per game. Now, that doesn't, you know, that's not a lot. That's not enough, you know, to be honest. You have to be extremely efficient, which he was. He averaged 8.9 yards per attempt, and that's how he got to 2,600 passing yards. But in reality, that is not a lot. And so the difference here is Riley Leonard is – his 2023 campaign was pretty tough. He had a gruesome leg injury, and, I mean, he only averaged 157 yards per game. But, like, I can't take that at face value simply because when I look at 2022, He averaged 228 yards per game, 2,967 passing yards, 20 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. And mind you, he also, you know, was a dual threat. You know, he ran for almost 700 yards. Now, obviously, the rushing has no bearing on what we're doing here. You know, even though dual threat quarterbacks do take away from passing because, you know, they're more apt to go run the ball when they could check it down or something like that. But again, we are looking at a very basic line, 2,550 yards. Like, that is barely over 200 yards a game, you know. And so my overall take is simply I believe Riley Leonard is a solid quarterback. Now, I'm going to be honest here. I didn't have him written up on any of my returning quarterbacks when it came to, you know, guys to look at. And I wrote up 27 of them on those episodes. And the reason is I just don't – he's just not an elevating game changer quarterback in my opinion. Other people might think that otherwise, but I don't see it. I mean, he could easily, you know, he could go and ball out this year and I could just be sitting here with egg on my face and be like, yeah, he, you know, he's a finalist in the Heisman. I don't see that. But that does not mean I don't think he can't run or pass for 225 yards a game. I mean, God bless America. That's not a lot of passing yards. So I think he's competent enough as a passer. And the offense is going to be extremely revamped and is going to be more quarterback friendly than he's ever played in. You know, I mean, at Duke, you know, they ran a very, you know, constricted offense, not a ton of creativity there, which there's nothing wrong with that. That's just, you know, what they did. A lot of ball control. You know, they have lesser athletes. They're trying to control the clock. Here, I think this is going to be a more wide-open offense. Now, I'm not trying to say that, you know, oh, well, this is the offense Jaden Daniels played in, so, you know, we're going to soar over those. Nobody's saying that. Nobody even thinks that. If you're trying to assume that, assume something else because you're 100% wrong. But I feel like the attempts and the volume, which is literally what the projection is based off of, and the improving, you know, landscape for Leonard and Notre Dame in general is going to produce enough opportunities for him to get to that yardage mark. And that's pretty much it. Now, like I said, this is one of my least favorite plays of all the quarterbacks. I feel like the other ones had better foundation, but I do feel like this one is solid enough. I'm just trying not to psych myself out because I'm a Notre Dame fan and I can only be let down so many times in my life. So, well, that's going to be it for today, guys, for this episode. Again, another short one, just like all of these prop episodes. This is the last quarterback one I'm going to do. I have some running backs slated probably over the next couple of days who I feel like have good value. Good, you know, offensive line returning production to pair with them. And I'm going to dive into those. And then the wide receivers, I probably won't dive too much into. I'm just going to pair them with the quarterbacks that I've already spoke about, who I feel like will be able to elevate them and, you know, have a good season also alongside of them. So as always, if you want to, if you want to reach out to me or have any suggestions or comments or, you know, have any episode topics that you want me to pursue, you can reach out to me on Twitter or you can email me at themittnermethod@gmail.com. Otherwise, you know, have a great day. Thank you for listening and I'll catch you on the next one. Take care.